Today is Paul's Missionary Journeys, Part 4 of 7. This is the second Missionary Journey, Part 1. Everyone will stand for our scripture reading. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "And that from a child thou," referring to Timothy, "hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You may be seated. What were the holy scriptures that Timothy learned from his mother Eunice, along with his grandmother Lois, that made him wise unto salvation? It was probably the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. It was written by 72 Judeans who translated it at the request of the Egyptian Pharaoh for the library at Alexandria in Egypt several centuries B.C. The library at Alexandria was one of the most magnificent libraries in the world. Of course, it got burnt down. Timothy grew up in Asia Minor at a time when the New Testament era was in its infancy. There was no such thing as New Testament books yet. It wasn't compiled into 367 AD when Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria, Egypt, gave a list of books that formed the modern 27 books of the New Testament. Asia Minor was the hotbed of missionary activities in the New Testament. The apostles, Paul, Philip, Peter, John, Andrew, Thaddeus, Matthias, Thomas, and James, each went to and or wrote about the people and churches of Asia Minor, Macedonia, Achaia, Syria, Cyprus, Crete, Malta, and Italy. Asia Minor is now Turkey. Macedonia and Achaia is now Greece. That's where they went. Paul, the book of Acts, tells of Paul's missionary journeys, but other disciples went into the same regions, and others went into all the other parts of the Roman Empire world. These other expeditions are very seldom or not mentioned in the New Testament, but they still occurred. Now, I've got a map of Paul's missionary journeys. His home church was Antioch, Syria. And he went through, which is now Turkey. He later went through Greece, and he finally went to Rome, Italy. His missionary journey was mainly Turkey and Greece, is right here. He went to Jerusalem about three times. They tried to kill him, so he couldn't stay there very long. What about Peter? Peter 1:1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers," that's the elect sojourners, "scattered of the dispersed throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Medithia." All five of these are areas and provinces of Asia Minor. There's Pontus. There's Galatia. There's Cappadocia. There's Asia. There's Medithia. That's who he wrote to. How about John? John wrote about seven churches in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Where were they? They were in Western Asia Minor. He was on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea where he composed this book. There's Patmos Island. There's the seven churches in Revelation. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then we got James 1:1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of Israel, which are scattered in the dispersion abroad, greeting. I have a question for the Judeo-Christians and the Jews. How could James write to the 12 tribes of Israel if 10 tribes were no longer in existence? Now, here's a list of 26 people that are in the New Testament and where they were probably born. We'll start off with Saul. His name was Paul, his Greek name, and his Hebrew name is Saul, was born in Tarsus, Asia Minor. That's southern Turkey. Barnabas, who was a Levite, was born on the island of Cyprus. Now leave it here, Randa, and I'll point out where they were. There's where Saul or Paul was born, right there. And there's the island of Cyprus where Barnabas was born. Apollos, he was born in Alexander, Egypt. Aquila was born in Pontus in Asia Minor. Priscilla was born in Italy. Phoebe was born in Cenchrea, a coastal town about 5 miles southeast of the city of Corinth in Achaia, right there. Titus was born on the island of Crete, or in Antioch, Syria. They're not sure which one he was born in. Luke, Antioch, Syria. Silas was born in Lystra, Asia Minor. Timothy was born either in Lystra or Derbe in Galatia, Asia Minor. Tertullus was born in Corinth, Achaia, right there. Tertullus was born in Corinth, Achaia. Appia was born in Colossae in Asia Minor, right over there. Aphilia was born in Colossae. Persistus was likely born in modern-day Iran, which is over here. Philip was born in Bethsaida, Galilee, which would be here, about 100 miles from Jerusalem. Rufus, son of Simon of Cyrene. That's the person who carried Jesus' cross. He was possibly born in Cyrene, right there, in modern-day Libya, Africa. Archippus was born in either Colossae or Laodicea, one of the seven churches of Asia Minor, right over there. Peter was born in Bethsaida in Galilee. Epaphras was probably born in Colossae in Asia Minor. Sopater or Sispater was born in Iconium in Galatia in Asia Minor, right there. Sosthenes was born in Corinth in Arcadia. Trophimus was probably born in Ephesus, which is right there in Asia Minor. One of the seven churches in the book of Revelation was the man the Jews supposed Paul had brought into the temple and defiled it. Tychicus was probably born in Ephesus, one of the seven churches in Revelation. John Mark, where was he born? Cyrene, Africa. Moved to Jerusalem with his wealthy parents when they had their property stolen by an invasion of Ethiopian tribes. Lydia was born in Thyatira in Asia Minor, one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Aristarchus was born in Thessalonica in Macedonia. All the above workers, they can go down, Randa. That's all the people I listed. All the above workers, some who were fellow laborers with the Apostle Paul, some who he met on his missionary journeys, some who were a helper to him, they were all Israelites. But none of them were born in Judea, Zippo. There were 3,000 Israelite Judean converts in Acts 2:41, that's during Pentecost, and 5,000 more Israelite Judean converts, men, in Acts 4:4, shortly thereafter. The Christian movement represents a tiny fraction of the ancient world. It was a very small, like a mustard seed, when it began. After 40 years from the resurrection of Jesus, that's about 70 AD, it had grown to about 34 churches, that's in the Bible, throughout the world in six main regions: Phoenicia, Samaria, Judea, Galatia, Asia and Asia Minor, and Macedonia. And here is a map. And you could go to our website and look at this map. There's the six regions. Here's all the churches and the verses after it, which point out they're mentioned in the Bible. It's important to understand what Judeo-Christianity states about the early church is not backed up in the scriptures. This Judeo-Christian organization, which is really anti-Christian Christian, states that Jesus Christ was a Jew. The apostles were all Jews. All Israelites were Jews. And the early church was all Jews. So they conclude that Christianity grew out of Judaism. They teach that Christianity was a sect of Judaism. But the truth is that Judaism is a perversion of Christianity. For Judaism says that Jesus Christ was not God, was a bastard, born to a prostitute woman, was a blasphemer, and is now in hell. While Christianity says the opposite. In fact, even Islam in their holy book, the Quran, says that Jesus Christ was not divine, but was a prophet of God, and is now in heaven. The Bible is silent on the churches of Western Europe, Spain, France, England, and Northern Africa. There were churches that were flourishing there too that are not mentioned in the Bible. But the Bible does tell us why the Edomite Judean, that's a Jew, can never be a believer, and thus disproves the Judeo-Christian statements that Jesus, the apostles, all Israelites, and the members of the early church were Jews. John 10:26, "But ye," referring to the Jews, "believe not, because ye," Jews, "are not of my sheep, as I said unto you Jews." Jesus was answering the Edomite Judeans because they are the ones who asked the question. Go two verses earlier to John 10:24 and 10:25. "Then came the Jews," that's the Edomite Judeans, "round about Jesus, and said unto Jesus, How long dost thou, Jesus, make us Edomite Jews to doubt? If thou, Jesus, be the Christ, tell us Edomite Jews plainly." Jesus answered them. Who's the them? Obviously, it's the Edomite Jews. Jesus told the Jews that they believed not because they were not of his sheep. That is, the reason the Jews will never be believers. They are not his sheep, but they are tares, wolves, and are of the wicked racial seed line. The Bible doesn't tell us everything that happened, for it would be a very large book with many, many volumes. Paul spent almost 4 years in Ephesus, that's in Turkey, and a year and a half in Corinth, that's in Greece. And there are just a few verses to tell us what happened during this time. The same is true with all the other apostles. There's practically no information on where they went except for a couple of them. Half of the New Testament is basically the story of the missionary journeys of Paul and his 9 letters to churches in Asia Minor, Greece, and there's one to Rome, that he had either started or confirmed. And he wrote four letters to his helper, associates, and fellow laborers. They are Galatians, and I give the year that they were written, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, Philippians. Then he wrote a letter to Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, then one to Timothy, one to Titus, and one to second letter to Timothy. That's half the New Testament. Saul Paul was a member of the Jewish Pharisees before he became the great missionary to the formerly divorced Israelites who had been unclean for over 700 years. You can see part two of this series. But he was born an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was chosen by God to be a vessel to teach the former divorced house of Israel. Paul was a new character who went from a Jewish fanatic to a person he would have arrested and put in jail before his conversion. There were no Christians in Jerusalem after its destruction in 70 AD by the Roman army. The members of that church were able to escape shortly before the city was destroyed, which was 2 years after Paul was crucified. He was crucified in 68 AD. About 40 years previously, at the first Pentecost in Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection, there were Israelite Judeans from. I got this information. It tells you where they come from. It's in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. They came from Elam, and it gives you the location. I'll tell you about this in a second. Parthia, Mesopotamia, and Media. These are Judeans. Now turn to the map, Brenda. The first one, well, it didn't come out right, did it? Elam came from this area, Kurdistan, and Elam, and part of Iraq. So here it would be this part of the country right here. That's where Elam was. Parthia was Iran, part of Iraq, part of Turkey, part of Armenia, and Afghanistan. So Parthia is a pretty big territory. Mesopotamia was Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Iran. That right there. And Media, Azerbaijan. I never heard of that country until I have a student from there. I said, where are you from? Azerbaijan. What? I didn't know where it was. She comes in right here. Well, that's where Media was, there, and Kurdistan, and Kurdistan. These area here is where Media was. Now go back up to the other map, and I'll show you where these other countries are. I think you know where most of it. We got Judea, Cappadocia, that's in Turkey, Pontus, well, that's Turkey, Asia, that's in Turkey, Phrygia, Turkey, Pamphylia, Turkey. So all the areas in Asia Minor, parts of Libya. Right over there, Cyrene, Egypt, down there, Rome, which is over here off the map, and Arabia, which is down here. That's where the Judeans came from for that first Pentecost. All those countries are mentioned. And what happened to the first Pentecost? They all understood what the other Judeans from different areas of the world, there were 15 different areas that were mentioned, were saying in their different languages. It was a miracle, the speaking of tongues that occurred on this first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection. The question is, how did all these Israelite Judeans get to these different locations in the world? They went there by eventually escaping from their captive country or by deserting their nation before the enemy arrived, or by leaving their homeland because of a severe drought and or famine. And many also departed from the homeland by regular migration. For example, some Israelites left while the Hebrews were in Egypt, some many years before their enslavement and exodus. They were there for 215 years. These exiles went mostly to Greece, Asia Minor, and a few went to Italy. Many Israelites constantly migrated over the centuries. They migrated before they were a kingdom. When they were a kingdom, and when they were two separate kingdoms, many times they were captured by different nations: Mesopotamia, Moab, Canaan, Midian, Philistines, Edom, Ammon, Syria, etc., as God's judgment for their disobeying his commandments. Eventually, the Assyrians came and took both the house of Israel and most of the house of Judah captive. Over 100 years later, the nation of Babylon took the remainder of Judah, which was in Jerusalem, captive for 70 years. The house of Israel never returned to the promised land, as they were divorced by Almighty God and continued in their practices of following other gods. They eventually left Assyria. They were called Scythians and Cimmerians, and traveled mainly westward to Syria, Cyprus, Crete, Macedonia, Acadia, Italy, and other parts of the Roman world, etc. Only about 40,000 or so Israelite Judeans returned to Jerusalem after their time of captivity was over. Now here we have a map of the Assyrian Empire at its biggest moment. Here you have what, a crescent? That's called the, what kind of crescent was that called? A fertile crescent. Yeah. And look up here. Here's the Caucasus Mountains. You see that? Can you see what word's up there? Scythians. And what word's over here? Those are Israelites. Crossing the Caucasus Mountains and going over here to Asia Minor. Oh my goodness. You can read Jim's book and get the full details. After the stoning death of Stephen, many Christian Judeans fled from Jerusalem and went in large numbers to Antioch, Syria, and other locations throughout the area. Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, Syria for a year, and assembled with the church and taught many Israelites. And I give the scriptural references. Later, the city became the center from which Paul performed his missionary labors. It was in Antioch of Syria that the disciples, including the Apostle Paul, was first called Christians. Remember, there was a Hittite, that's a Canaanite Jewish empire in modern-day Turkey, from 1600 to 1200 B.C. When their empire died, there were many Jews who remained there as well as in other places that were close to and around Palestine. Jews were in Asia Minor, Syria, Lebanon, Mesopotamia, Acadia, Egypt, Arabia, Northern Africa, Italy, etc. So, there were Edomite Judeans, that's Jews. There were Israelite Judeans from the house of Judah. There were Israelites from the 10 tribes, that's the house of Israel, who were in dispersion, integrated in many areas from the promised land. Jews, Judah, and house of Israel. There were also people who were descended from Japheth. Japheth is one of the three sons of Noah, who were living in these same lands. And there was a significant number of people who were products of mixed marriages between Israelites and individuals from the Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites, and Japheth. So you got all these people in Asia Minor. Luke's account of Paul's conversion marks a decisive turning point in the history of the early church. Before Saul's conversion, he was at Stephen's stoning when the witnesses laid down their clothes at his feet. Once Christianity started, he went and arrested as many Christians as he could. Paul was later stoned as Stephen was, as he was in favor of the stoning of Stephen. I think that Saul remembered this occasion. I know I would. The stoning of Stephen, as the Jews were stoning him. Paul was born in Tarsus, a city in southern Asia Minor, somewhere around 5 AD, and he held Roman citizenship. He was from a wealthy family who gave him an outstanding education, and by his 21st birthday, he had earned the equivalent of 2 advanced academic degrees. He was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin who was raised as a Jewish Pharisee. And I hope you remember my sermon about the Benjaminites and what their job was. Paul studied in the Jerusalem school of Rabbi Gamaliel, who was one of the leading Jewish Pharisaic thinkers of his time. When Saul, if we're speaking Hebrew, or Paul, if we're speaking Greek, was young, he was very dedicated to the goals of the Pharisees. He hated any departure from the Pharisaical code. When he became aware of the group called the Way, the followers of Jesus of Nazareth, he unleashed his fury against them. He went after the Christians with a passion, going from house to house to find them and jailing many men and women. He was in favor of their executions, and even compelling them to blaspheme. While Saul took to the road of Damascus, Syria to round up some more Christians, he came face to face with the person who was the contrasting figure of Phariseeism. Now let's look at this a second. He went from Jerusalem all the way up here. It says here, Paul, in traveling to Damascus to seek out and arrest Christians, Jesus appears to him, and Paul is blinded by the light. So Jesus appears to him. He's blinded instantly. He goes to Damascus. What happened there? After spending some time in Arabia, he goes to Arabia, goes back. Paul escapes a plot on his life in Damascus. They tried to kill him. And he travels to Jerusalem. What happens there? Paul is introduced to the apostles after he returns to Jerusalem. Now he goes to Caesarea. What's it say there? Another plot on Paul's life is discovered in Jerusalem. And the believers take him to Caesarea so he can return to his hometown of Tarsus. They leave out who was persecuting. I will fill it in for you. After his conversion, he learned the gospel from Almighty God by studying in Damascus and Arabia. He then traveled back to Damascus, where he escaped a Jewish plot on his... It's like... What's that guy's name? The guy doing the Doge, where it is? Elon Musk. They loved him. Everyone's got to buy at his car. Now, he turns. It's like Paul turns. And now they're out there. They're burning the car up. They're selling the cars. They've lost their mind. But that's what the Jews do. Now, the Jews try to kill him in Damascus. He goes to Jerusalem. And he had to be led some safety from the Jews plotting to kill him there. He then traveled to Caesarea and then to Tarsus in Asia Minor. Paul stayed in the area of his birth, preaching for about five years before he was found by Barnabas and brought to the church in Antioch, Syria. It was from this church that Paul was sent out on his first missionary journey along with Barnabas and Mark. So from the church, he went to Cilicia, Salamis and Cyprus, Paphos there. That's where he made a guy blind. Went to Perga. Now that's where Mark left him. Mark went back. He went to Antioch, gets kicked out of Antioch, goes to Iconium, gets kicked out of there, goes to Lystra. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium go to Lystra and bash his head in, take him outside the city, think he's dead. The disciples go around him. He goes back to life. He just gets right up and starts preaching again. He goes to Derbe and follows back. Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. Goes back to Perga, Attalia, goes to Cilicia, and back to Antioch. That's his first missionary journey. Cyprus and Turkey. There were many constant conflicts that the Jews cast upon Paul. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Jews, such as blaspheming and contradicting him, expelling him from the city of Antioch and Iconium, protesting his meetings, plotting and having him stoned to death, and doing all sorts of things to stop him from preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now we get to Paul's second missionary journey. Did the same people who went with Paul on his first missionary journey go with him on his second? It started out that way, but there was a problem. A big problem. Barnabas and his cousin or nephew, John Mark, went with Paul on their first missionary journey. But John Mark left them when they arrived at Asia Minor. As a result of Mark's early departure on the journey, Paul and Barnabas had a big fight over who was going to go with them on their second missionary journey. Was it John Mark or someone else? Barnabas wanted to take his relative, John Mark, with him. Paul was against this because he had suddenly previously left him. Now we'll look at the scripture, Acts 15:36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. That's his first missionary journey. He wanted to go visit who? His brethren. Acts 15:36 states that Paul said to Barnabas that they should go again and visit our brethren, that's our racial kindred, in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Notice that Paul did not say that they should go again and visit the Gentiles or non-Israelites like most of Christians says today. Acts 15:37-38, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So Paul and Barnabas were in dispute about whether to take Mark again with them on their missionary journey. Acts 15:39-40, and the contention was so sharp between Barnabas and Paul that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. That's where he was born. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he goes to where he was born. Where was he born? Tarsus in Asia Minor. This segment of scripture shows that even the leaders of Christianity can have major disagreements over issues like personnel. For whatever reason, they couldn't make a decision that agreed with them both. So they took different disciples and went on their own separate journeys. Barnabas took his relative, John Mark, and they went to where Barnabas was born, which was Cyprus. Paul took Silas and started his journey to his birthplace, which was at Tarsus in the province of Cilicia. Before we go further, let's look at who John Mark was and see if the Apostle Paul and Mark ever made up. John Mark. Who was John Mark? Mark was the author of the second book in the New Testament. Mark was related to Barnabas, either as a cousin or nephew. There is controversy as to how he was related, according to biblical references. He was either the brother of Artopolis or of Mary, therefore he could be either the cousin or nephew of Barnabas. But Paul deeply resented Mark's conduct at the beginning of his first missionary journey, which is shown by his refusal to employ his services on his second journey. It has been assumed, you don't want to assume, but it's been assumed, that Mark shirked the dangers of the enterprise or that he tired of the work. Barnabas, at any rate, judged Mark's conduct more leniently than Paul, and later Paul modified his attitude. Barnabas took Mark with him on a mission to Cyprus, and we hear no more of him in the book of Acts. We don't know what happened. When Mark next appears, he is the fellow laborer of Paul, Philemon 24, who had by this time become completely reconciled to Paul and found Mark a comfort in Paul's imprisonment. Christianity has a way of forgiveness and reconciliation. I don't know who's guilty, but they reconciled. We don't know what happened in between, but clearly Barnabas taking John Mark in Acts 15 to Cyprus brought about a process whereby John Mark was restored and returned to useful missionary service, even in the eyes of Paul, who previously had been so hostile to him. During the time of the Maccabees, that's 200 B.C. to 120 B.C., the Judeans in Jerusalem and other areas close by endured harsh wars, population displacement, and foreign occupation. The two cities of refuge where the Judeans mainly fled were to Cyrene, which is now in Liberia, and Alexandria, which is in Egypt. The Judeans remained religiously observant, faithful to the Mosaic covenant, and visited Jerusalem annually for the feast days. Their religious leaders were Levites, who were well learned in the Hebrew scriptures. One such family was a family of Levites who lived together in Cyrene, which included Barnabas, his brother Artopolis, and their cousin Scrapula, who became the wife of Peter, one of the chief apostles. They were rich farmers who produced agricultural products, which they marketed internationally. They were well-traveled and proficient in international languages. Just before New Testament times, 5 to 20 BC, there were tribal conflicts and several disturbances in which Ethiopian tribes robbed the family of much of their wealth. After this, the family fled back to Jerusalem. What if somebody came and robbed you of your wealth? Would they be in Jerusalem? God has everything worked out in our life. Mark was related to one of Barnabas' family relatives, Mary, who ministered to Christ and in whose house in Jerusalem was a place which was used for a regular meeting of his disciples. Peter went to her house, Mary's, after he was miraculously rescued from prison by an angel. Peter called John Mark my son, and it is to Peter that Mark is indebted for his gospel narrative. For this reason, some call his book Peter's Message about the Gospel of Christ. Mark's missionary journeys took him to various regions, including Egypt. He is credited with the founding of the Church of Alexander Egypt, which became a crucial center for Christian thought and theology. Mark, Barnabas, Paul, and Peter all had an amazing relationship with each other and their kinsman Redeemer. Where did Paul go on his second missionary journey? Next on Paul's campaign, after he left Tarsus, where he was born, was that he returned to Derbe and Lystra in Galatia. He had success at these two cities about 5 years previous on his first journey, but there were also some problems. First, after he healed a man who was crippled all his life, the local people thought that they, Paul and Barnabas, were two of their pagan gods, Jupiter and Mercury. That'd be something, we healed somebody. His whole life he's crippled, we heal him. Second, after they convinced the people they were men like they were, the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the people to stone Paul to death. Boy, did they flip-flop. You're a god, now we're going to stone you to death. And they dragged his supposed dead body outside of Lystra. Third, after the Jews left, the disciples came and stood around his body. He immediately got up and started preaching in the same cities that the Jews were living in. This is all in Galatia. And you read the book of Galatia, you got to remember this is what he remembered. Paul returned to these two Asia Minor cities once again. What would happen this time? Paul would meet a disciple who'd be one of his most faithful associates. The person who would come into his life was the son of a faithful Judean mother from the house of Judah and a faithful Greek from the house of Israel father. So he had a house of Judah, house of Israel, one parent from each. Paul quickly recognized his potential and decided he wanted to take their son on the rest of his journey. This son became Paul's companion from here on. He was faithful to Paul in his ministry. Who was he? You probably all know because you saw. His name was Timothy. We have two letters written by Paul to him, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul and Timothy became very close friends. They became like father and son. Let's look at one of the things that Paul wrote to his loyal companion. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, part A. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So the Holy Spirit's talking. But in the later times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Forbidding marriage is one of the doctrines of the demons. That's what it says, isn't it? This also applies to religions that discourage or forbid marriage to anyone among laymen, clergy, or nuns, like the Roman Catholic Church. Marriage is honorable to all and is a covenant. There are some churches that teach that married men may become priests, but unmarried priests may not marry. And married priests, if widowed, may not remarry. There are at least four main problems with this teaching of no marriage for ministers, priests, bishops, cardinals, popes, or nuns. Number one, many of the apostles, including Peter, were married. 1 Corinthians 9:5, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, which is another name for Peter. Thus, the supposed first pope of Roman Catholicism, he really wasn't the first pope, but the Catholics believe he was, but they don't acknowledge that he was married, or if they do, they don't realize that Peter should set an example of marriage for later clergy. Remember, Peter was married to Barnabas' cousin, Strapola, and Peter had a mother-in-law. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you're married. That's Luke 4:38. Number two, the Old Testament priests were married. The first high priest, that's Aaron, clearly had sons, and it's from his biological line that the priests came. Exodus 28:1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Thamar, Aaron's sons. The priests were prohibited from marrying a defiled or divorced woman. The high priest was required to marry a virgin, but it was quite clear the priests were permitted to marry and produce children. Number three, today, how do you say it, Randon? Vasectomies, abortions, transgendered individuals, homosexuals, abortion pills, sodomites, tying of female tubes, same-sex marriages, etc., all represent the notion of having no children. That's the doctrine of demons. This world's full of demons. Abortion is the biggest sin in preventing the birth of millions, millions of babies. We kill more babies than we've lost in wars. Instead, they are slaughtered in the womb. The young babies are pulled apart, poisoned, stuck with instruments, etc., in the womb until they are dead. Life begins at conception. Four, pastors do not represent Christ in a sense, in that they proclaim his word and should model the keeping of his commands. Thus, the pastor is not to be exactly like Jesus was in every way, but the pastor is to follow Jesus and his teachings. And Jesus nowhere commands his pastors to be celibate. In fact, many of his apostles modeled married life, and the requirements for pastors expect marriage as the norm. They all had the right to marriage. The typical pastor should be a husband and father. The journey continues. So the journey started out with Paul and Silas being the main missionaries, but Timothy joins them somewhere when they were at Lystra. Where do the three of them go next? Acts 16, verses 6 through 8. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia. They sailed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysera, came down to Troas. If a person doesn't look at a map or know the map by heart, he will probably not get what these verses meant. Churches had already been established in most of Asia Minor. But where were Bithynia, Asia, and Mysia? Are they also in Asia Minor? Is Asia a province in Asia Minor as well as a separate continent? When the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to preach the word in Asia, the Holy Spirit meant the province of Asia and Asia Minor, not the continent of Asia. This is where the majority of the seven churches of Revelation are located, in Asia of Asia Minor. Why does most of Christendom believe that Rome was the original mother church? And I got the seven churches. That's the seven churches of Revelation. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I got a map. There they are. And there's where John wrote seven churches. If a person doesn't look at a map or know the map by heart, he will probably not get what these verses meant. Churches had already been established in most of Asia Minor. But where was Bithynia, Asia Minor? They're also in Asia Minor. Is Asia a province in Asia Minor as well as a separate continent? I will have to admit, in a few conferences that I attended and in a few books and articles that I read, I was taught that this verse, Acts 16:6, meant that they were forbidden to go to Asia, that is, the continent of Asia. I don't know if you ever heard that. I did. And that Galatia was Gaul in France and not in Asia Minor. But that's not true. These verses meant that it was the provinces of Asia and Galatia and Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit also warned Paul about not going to the province of Bithynia, which I was never told about in either the conferences or articles, which is in northern Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit wanted Paul, Silas, and Timothy to go to other places which had not heard the message. Later, these other provinces that rejected this time were revisited by Paul. Ephesus is in Asia and Asia Minor. He spent 4 years there. Maybe there were other missionaries like Peter, John, Andrew, and Philip who had gone or were at these locations at this time. There wasn't a need to have several missionaries at one place and none at another. God didn't mean that no one was to go to Asia or Bithynia, as there were other apostles who formed churches in these territories, like the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Peter wrote to the Israelites in all the territory of northern Asia Minor. Peter wrote to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia and Bithynia. He wrote to them. Was Peter writing to the Gauls in France, or was it to the churches of Galatia and Asia Minor? I think the evidence is overwhelming that both Peter and Paul were writing to the churches of Galatia and Asia Minor. And later, Paul wrote to the churches in the city of Colossae and the city of Ephesus, both in the province of Asia. Got another map. There's Asia and Turkey. There's the seven churches of Revelation. They're all in Asia. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were at Troas. Now, where's Troas? Right there. Troas, 4 miles from the city. Something else of importance happened while they were there at Troas. Luke, a physician, who was probably one of the 70 disciples appointed by Jesus, Luke chapter 10, joined their missionary crew. The book of Acts does not explicitly state this, but it's implied. Throughout most of the book of Acts, Luke speaks in the third person. However, starting in Luke 16:10, Luke begins to speak in the first person, as if he joined the team by that point. So let's look at Luke 16:10. And after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, that includes Luke, endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The dream was there was a man of Macedonia calling for help. Luke had become one of Paul's ministry proteges. Besides being a Greek physician, that's Colossians 4:14, he also functioned as an investigative journalist. He eventually writes both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So they leave Troas and go to Caesarea, and the next day to Nicopolis, and there they go to the chief city, which is at Philippi in Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece. Philippi was the chief city at the time that Paul arrived and was the place where the decisive battle had ended the Roman Republic in 42 BC. Julius Caesar had been murdered by the Roman Senate and a civil war had begun. The war had ended at Philippi and Augustus Caesar took the throne and began the Roman Empire. So here, he starts at Antioch with Silas. Then he goes to his hometown. Then he goes to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. Gets his vision to go to Macedonia. He's at Philippi. Paul has journeyed about halfway through his second missionary trek. We will complete his journey in our next sermon. To be continued. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.